outside, the night was cold and wet. But in the small parlor of Lakesnam Villa, the blinds were drawn, and the fire burned brightly. Father and son were playing chess. The former, who played a revolutionary game, was putting his king into such sharp and unnecessary perils that it even provoked comment from the white-haired old lady knitting placidly by the fire. Father and son. They were the principal actors in this drama of the monkey's paw, as were the already mentioned lady and a certain Sergeant Major Morris, who was due to visit Lakesnam Villa on this darkest of nights when the gods showed their displeasure with the world by drenching it with the cold rain of winter. And with the Sergeant Major's visit, the three inhabitants of the villa moved forward into the terrors that lie beyond midnight.
Listen to the wind.
Mr. White had seen the fatal mistake on the chessboard and was amiably desirous of preventing his son from seeing it.
I'm listening.
Check.
I should hardly think that it'd come to know it.
Mate.
That's the worst of living so far out. Of all the beastly, slushy, out-of-the-way places to live in, this is the worst. Pathways are bog and the roads are torrent. I don't know what people are thinking about. I suppose because only 2 houses on the road are let, they think it doesn't matter.
Never mind, dear. Perhaps you'll win the next game.
Another herbert. We'll see a different story this time. There he is. Yes, that'll be him.
Be charitable, Herbert. Allow your father to win again.
Sergeant Major Morris.
Oh,
come in, sir. Well, I apologize for the weather, all of it.
Oh, after all these years. Well. Back in your old house.
Well, step in, man. You're soaked to the skin.
Well, the weather's not horrible, is it?
The last game of chess he lose today, at least.
Sergeant Major Morris. This is my wife and my son, Herbert.
And the Sergeant Major shook hands all round and took the proffered seat by the fire. He warmed his hands and watched contentedly as his host got out whiskey and tumblers and stood a small copper kettle around the fire. The whiskey warmed the Sergeant Major. It loosened the tongue of Mr. White. It made the evening comfortable as the flames from the fire threw leaping devil pictures over the brass of the hearth and the picture-covered walls.
Our strange scenes, wars and plagues. Strange people. A lot of traveling.
21 years of it. When he went away, he was a slip of a youth. Now look at him.
He don't look to have taken much harm.
You know, I'd like to go to India myself, just to look around a bit.
Better where you are.
I should like to see those old temples and fakers and jugglers. What was that you were telling me the other day, the day we first met again? Something about a monkey's paw or something, wasn't it? Something about a paw, remember? You talked about the monkey.
There was nothing, leastways, nothing worth hearing. That wasn't another worth hearing.
monkey's paw, though. Something about magic, if I remember rightly. Magic and all.
Magic,
yes. Well, just a bit of what you might call magic, perhaps. Whiskey. Was there ever a...
Yeah, more whiskey for the Sergeant Major, Herbert.
Yeah, right there.
Magic, you said. What magic?
Well, to look at, it's just an ordinary little paw, a droid to a mummy.
Monkey's paw?
That's right. Well, bless you. Here. There we are.
Now, let me see. Oh, there's the thing. A dried monkey's paw.
What is there special about it, then?
Had a spell put on it by an old faker, a very holy man. He wanted to show that fate ruled people's lives, and that those who interfered with it did so at their own sorrow. He put a spell on it, so that three separate men could have three wishes from it.
Get away with you.
Did?
Well.
Now, why didn't you have three wishes, then, sir?
I did.
And they all looked at him, for his face had gone strangely white, and he tapped upon his strong white teeth with a half-empty whiskey glass. And he did not seem to look at any one of them, but rather through them, as if he was afraid or had invoked some memory that disturbed him.
And did you really have the three wishes granted?
I did.
And has anybody else wished?
Well, the first man had his three wishes, yes. I don't know what the first two were, but I know the third.
What was the third?
The third wish? The third wish was for death.
Death?
Yes. That's how I got the paw.
Well, if you've had your three wishes, then it's no good to you anymore, Morris. Why do you keep it?
Oh, fancy, I suppose. I did have some idea of selling it, but I don't suppose I shall. Caused enough misery already. Besides, people won't buy. They think it's a fairy tale, most of them, and those that do believe want to wish first and then pay me afterwards.
If you could have another three wishes, would you have them?
I don't know.
Ah!
No, don't do that.
No, don't need to burn it.
Let it burn.
No, if you don't want it, Morris, give it to me. Don't put it on the fire.
No, I won't. I threw it on the fire. If you keep it, don't blame me for what happens. Pitch it in the fire again like a sensible man.
I'm going to have it. How do you do it? Wish.
Yes. How do you...
You hold it in your right hand and wish out aloud. But I warn you of the consequences.
Sounds like the Arabian Nights. I must get supper. Don't you think you might wish for four pairs of hands for me?
Four pairs of hands?
No! If you must wish, wish for something sensible.
Later. Now, let's be seated at the table.
Monkey paw soup.
In the business of supper, the talisman was partly forgotten. Afterwards, the three sat listening, enthralled, to a second installment of the soldier's adventures in India. That gentleman left the villa late in the night.
Of the monkey's paw isn't any more truthful than the stories he's been telling us of India, and we shan't make very much out of it. I wonder whether he managed to catch the last train.
Oh, but they were wonderful stories, romantic, exciting. Who cares if they're not true?
Did you give him anything for the poor father?
A little something, yes. He didn't want to take it, but I made him. Then he tried to persuade me to take the money back again and throw the thing into the fire.
Throw it?
Likely.
We're going to be rich and famous and happy. Wish to be a king, Father, first of all. Then you won't be henpecked.
Oh, you...
I don't know what to wish for, and that's a fact. It seems to me I've got all I want.
Well, if you only cleared the house, you'd be quite happy, wouldn't you? Well, wish for £900, then. That'll just do it.
I wish for £900.
I wonder what...
It moved! As I wished, it twisted in my hand like a snake.
Well, I didn't see the money. I bet I never shall either.
Oh, it must have been your fancy, Father. Mustn't it?
Never mind, though. There's no harm done. But it gave me a turn all the same.
They sat down by the fire again while the two men finished their pipes. The hour was late. It would soon be morning. The wind was getting up again, and the old man stopped nervously as a door banged somewhere upstairs. A silence, unusual and depressing, settled on all three of them, and this lasted until the old couple rose to retire for the night.
I expect you'll find the cash tied up in a big bag in the middle of your bed. And something horrible squatted on the top of the wardrobe. Watching you as you pocket your ill-gotten gains.
Come to bed, Bob. I'm glad to see the end of today. I didn't like it.
The idea of our listening to such nonsense last night. How could wishes be granted in these days? And he made such a to-do about it. Even if wishes could be granted, how could £900 hurt you, Father? Very nice it would be.
Might drop on his head in pennies from out of the sky. That would hurt him, all right. Well, I'm off to work. Don't break into the money before I come back. I'm afraid it'll turn you into a mean, avaricious man. We'll have to disown you.
More tea, Father.
Well, if nothing happens and we don't get any money today, Herbert will pull our legs when he comes home.
Maybe it'll come in the post. Distant uncle breathed his last.
All the same, you think it's funny, but be that as it may, I felt that thing move in my hand as I wished. I swear I did.
Makes you feel spring isn't so far away, doesn't it? And the birds. Oh.
What is it?
His wife made no reply. She was watching the mysterious movements of a man outside, who, peering in an undecided fashion at the house, appeared to be trying to make up his mind to enter. Mrs. White noticed that the stranger was well-dressed. To receive a well-dressed stranger, she should have to dispense with her apron. She did so.
What are you doing?
Going to let him in, of course. He might be bringing money, the £900. Hello. Please come in, please. We are Mr. and Mrs. White. That is my husband there.
Hello.
I was asked to call.
Is anything the matter?
I was asked to call. I come from Moore and Meggins.
Anything happened to Herbert? What is it? What is it?
There, Mother. Don't jump to conclusions. You've not brought bad news, I'm sure, sir.
I'm sorry.
Is he hurt?
Yes, badly hurt. But he's not in any pain.
Oh, thank heaven. Thank heaven for that.
He was caught in the machinery.
Caught in the machinery? Yes.
The visitor looked long at his boots. Mr. White took his wife's hand between his own and pressed it, as he had often done during their courting days, nearly 40 years before.
Is he...
Yes, I'm... Well, I'm sorry.
He was the only one left to us. It's hard.
Uh, The firm wish me to convey their sincere sympathy with you in your great loss. I beg that you will understand that I'm only their servant, merely obeying orders. I was to say that Moore and Meggins disclaim all responsibility. They admit no liability at all. But in consideration of your son's services, they wish to present you with a certain sum in consideration as compensation.
How much?
£900.
In the new cemetery, some 2 miles distant, the old couple buried their dead and came back to a house steeped in shadow and silence. It was all over so quickly that at first they could not realize it, and remained in a state of expectation, as though of something else to happen. But the days passed, and the expectation gave way to resignation, the resignation of the old. It was about a week later that the old man, waking suddenly in the night, stretched out his hand and found himself alone. The room was in darkness, and the sound of weeping came from the window.
Come back. You'll be cold.
It is cold for my son. The monkey's paw!
Where is it? What's the matter?
I want it. Give it to me. Where is it? You've not destroyed it.
No, it's in the parlor on the bracket. Why?
I only just thought of it. Why didn't I think of it before? Why didn't you think of it?
Think of what?
The other 2 wishes. We've only had one.
Wasn't that enough?
No, we'll have one more. Go down and get it quickly. I wish our boy alive again.
Are you mad?
Get it. Get it quickly. And wish... Oh, my boy. My boy. My Herbert. Oh.
Get back to bed. You don't know what you're saying.
We've had our first wish granted. Why not the second?
It's a coincidence. That's all a coincidence.
Go on. Get it and wish.
He went down in the darkness and felt his way into the parlor. And then to the mantelpiece. The talisman was in its place, and a horrible fear that the unspoken wish might bring his mutilated son before him ere he could escape from the room seized him. And he found he had lost all direction of the door.
Wish! Go on! Wish!
It's foolish and wicked!
Wish!
I wish to see my son alive again.
The monkey's paw fell to the ground and the old man sank trembling into a chair as the old woman with burning eyes walked up to the window and raised the blind. She had lighted, burnt low, and finally went out. The old man, with an unspeakable sense of relief at the failure of the talisman, crept back to his bed, and a minute or two afterward, his wife came silently and apathetically beside him.
What's that?
A rat. A rat. He passed me on the stairs.
It's Herbert. It's Herbert. It's my boy. It's Herbert.
What are you going to do?
It's my boy. I forgot it was 2 miles away. Oh, what are you holding me for? Let me go. I'm jumping the door.
No, no. For pity's sake, don't let it in.
You're afraid of your own son. Let me
come go. Back.
I'm coming. Herbert, I'm coming.
No. No, you can't. No. No, you can't. No! Mother, no! Don't let it in! No!
But White was down on his hands and knees, groping wildly in search of the paw. If he could only find it before the thing outside got in. The old man heard the scrape of a chair as his wife placed it against the door and stood upon it to reach the highest bolt. He heard the boat, the final boat, as it came back. And at the same moment, he found the monkey's paw and breathed his third and last wish. Outside, the night was cold and wet. But in the small parlor of Lakesnam Villa, the blinds were drawn, and the fire burned brightly. And with the Sergeant Major's visit, the three inhabitants of the villa moved forward into the terrors that lie beyond midnight.